Today, our Lord tells us a parable about a landlord and his vineyard. And in this story, we hear how life is cheap. Humans kill other humans just for some grapes and the profit they bring. Many servants, even the vineyard owner's son, the heir, are sent to get their part of the harvest. Tenants didn't pay the landowner for use of the land. They gave them a share of the crop, the harvest. And the landowner's trying to get his payment. But everyone whom he sends are either seized, beaten, stoned, or killed. Life was cheap. Life was cheap then. Life is cheap as well today. So a while ago, our American Catholic bishops designated this month of October as Respect Life Month, and this first Sunday in October as Respect Life Sunday. A while ago, Pope St. John Paul II spoke of a new cultural climate. He said this new cultural climate is developing and it's taking hold. He said it's a culture in which crimes against life are taking on a new character, a sinister character. He said it's a culture in which a sense of God is being lost. And then there is a loss of the dignity and value of human beings when you lose a sense of God. There is a loss of the value of every human being from the womb to the tomb. He called this culture the culture of death. He said it's progressive and pervasive, and he said it will lead to unknown consequences. Today, for the sake of the innocent and for our own good, we can never whitewash crimes against life. Nor can we whitewash actions against the dignity of anyone with the convenient language of denial. It's far too easy for us to deny it. In today's Office of Readings, Gregory the Great warned pastors not to do just that. He called it imprudent silence. We cannot have imprudent silence on issues of life. So the church always speaks clearly of what's going on around us. Abortion, physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, murder. We hear about it all the day, all the time. Capital punishment, and more. Pope St. John Paul II was right. The culture of death is real. It may affect any one of us here, personally, at any time. And the culture of death can never robe itself in the mantle of freedom. These issues are not religious issues. These issues are human rights issues. And whenever we speak of the culture of death, we must speak no less clearly of God's mercy. The parable we heard today reminds us that life is cheap, but our parable today tells us how God is patient, God is merciful. In fact, few parables elaborate on God's patience as does the one we just heard. I had Jen put this plate up, verses 36 and 37 from today's gospel, Matthew chapter 21. This right here is God's mercy and patience. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son, thinking, they will respect my son. No, they killed him. Three times, the owner sends someone to get his share, and three times, the vineyard keepers mistreat those servants. And God is so patient, so merciful, so giving, that he sends all he has, his own son. God will never give up on us. And we should never give up on the greatest gift he has given us. And that's the gift of life. The gift of life is all we have. And we should never give up on the greatest opportunity he's given us, and that's the opportunity of eternal life with him. In my studies, a writer that influenced me was a man named Cardinal Jean-Marie Lustiger. Cardinal Lustiger was the Archbishop of Paris from 1983 until his death in 2007. He's buried in Notre Dame. I read some of the interviews he gave, and in one of the interviews, he was asked, "Your Eminence, what would you say to someone who may be searching for God in their life?" What's the cardinal going to say to that question? Go to church? Study theology? Get serious about something? The cardinal said this, "I feel like telling everyone I meet, let yourself be grasped by life." He said, if we have a hard time finding God or feeling God's presence, it's because we do not want to let ourselves be grasped by life, grasped by God who gives life, and grasped by the resurrection. The resurrection, the greatest manifestation of life after the crucifixion. I like to preach here because I get to occasionally look at our crucifix right there. That was done very, very well. I wonder who was on that committee. I'll put that on my to-do list this week. Father Becker did it very well. Deacon Michael Fix told me that Father Becker wanted to put up a crucifix that a subsequent pastor wouldn't take down. I'm not taking that down. I'm not taking that down. And I know a lot of priests and seminarians, and I can assure you, they're not taking that down. On the day I met my staff, I walked in and looked at it, and I just thought to myself what St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "I resolve to know nothing while I'm with you, accept Christ and Him crucified. That's beautiful. Anyway, I digress. What I want to say, Cardinal Lustiger, who spoke so often about letting life grasp you, he was born of Jewish parents, and most of his family were murdered by the Nazis, many in Auschwitz, many in other death camps in Poland. The pall of the culture of death descended upon him when he was a young boy, and he had every reason to be bitter about life, but all he could do was speak about it. You know, somebody said recently, "Monsignor, boy, you don't preach for very long." I said, "Well, just wait." As your new pastor, I've been observing a lot. My staff asks me, how do you want to do this? How do you want to do that? And I just say, we're going to do it as you do it. Just let me see how you do it. Keep doing what you're doing. To prepare for this homily a couple weeks ago, I reviewed our Respect Life activities. How is Corpus Christi grasping life? We pray. Yes, we pray for the end of the culture of death. But how do we act? How do we give of our time, talent, and treasure to promote life? I had Tracy Kraft do some research, and we are doing really, really well. We are doing really, really well. I'm proud of Corpus Christi in taking care of our Lord's people between the womb and the tomb. Most impressive to me is the history of our food pantry. For 40 years, you have distributed food for 40 years. And last year, 2,400 boxes went out to families. 79,000 pounds of food was collected by us and distributed last year to anyone. That is a flagship Respect Life activity for us. The banquet community meal is coming up this month at Trinity Lutheran Church. We sponsor, provide, and serve that a couple times a year to over 600 people. Meals on Wheels in January to the homebound. Feeding the Hungry is a Respect Life flagship action. You have Make a Difference Days here. You've collected baby essentials for mothers at First Choice Clinic. You've made care packages for military personnel overseas, law enforcement appreciation bags for first responders, and most recently, you've collected essentials of daily living, kits for abused adults and children in our community. We support Ministry on the Margins here, which assists people in transition. And we also support Interfaith. It is an organization that assists people in our community in financial need, gas vouchers, rental assistance, other financial assistance. We have volunteer faith community nurses, licensed RNs. We have a prayer blanket ministry. We have new parent support, supporting parents who have experienced the unimaginable. Parents who have lost a child to miscarriage, stillbirth, or death. Our pastoral staff is impressive. There's a lot of us here at Corpus. It needs to be impressive. And among them are two religious sisters, I haven't had religious sisters on my staff since 1997, Sister Ivo and Sister Idel. Look at the grief ministry they do, all the visitations they do to people who are homebound, our parishioners in nursing homes, our parishioners in hospitals, planning funerals with families who have lost a loved one. I have been anointing patients in COVID units. It is exhausting emotionally. It is exhausting physically, wearing all of the protective gear, imparting on them the apostolic part, and I'm so impressed by healthcare staff. I walk out of there just so impressed. We have to get sacraments to them before they die. I often read their obituaries the next few days or the next week. I had another funeral in Mandan on Friday of a woman who died of COVID. But let's look at ourselves. We can't give anything we don't have. How do I respect my life? Ask yourself this week. Do I do something every day that makes me happy to be alive? And don't make it complicated. It can be the coffee. We have vineyard themes. It can be your favorite wine, walking the dog. Today I get a blessed pets. Do you enjoy life every day? Or is life something to just get through? Our lives are passing quicker than we can ever imagine. Are you grasped by life every day? My dear people, our Lord wants us to be grasped by life. God wants this for us, and God promises to renew this every time we celebrate the Eucharist. And God also wills to instill that love for life in anyone who does not know him or believe in him or is of good will. And God wishes to do so for them through our prayers, our penance, and our good actions.